regular basis. 9 different churches. This is the 4th one that I've pastored. And just don't be scared, because, you know, I don't just flip from church to church. I was at my last church for 12 years, so relax. Yeah, okay, all right. And in that time, I have seen the church be beautiful. I mean, amazing things that come from the church. One of the things that I noticed that... We'll get this going. You know, I really should start practicing, like, some jokes or something, so that when this happens... Oh, wait. That was exciting, though, wasn't it? There we go. Okay. So, one of the things that happened that really kind of blew me away happened in May. When I announced to my church that I was leaving, the board decided they were going to throw me a party, a going-away party. And... here's the thing, they didn't have to do that. And in fact, that church had been around since the early 1970s. From my understanding, no pastor had been thrown a going-away party like the party that they threw for me. And they took the time to honor each member of my family as well on the way out. It was quite the thing. They had a person representing the RCMP come and speak. They had a town council come speak. They had someone from the newspaper come speak, someone from the local education system, all these things I was involved with in Slave Lake, and each person got to come up and speak, and then other people from the church got to speak. It was quite the deal, and I don't bring this up to brag about myself. To me, this was a shining moment of the church, not for me, necessarily. This was something that they did on their own. And it shows the beauty of the church. And I know that, unfortunately, many of you won't have the church throw a party for you. I wish we could. I really do. Wouldn't it be fun? Every week or every day, we have a party for guys like Ron. Isn't Ron worthy of a party? Yeah. See, never sit right there. This is where I'm looking. Now, I'm sure you have all experienced great things in the church. I'm sure in your time, let's be honest, you've also seen some things that are not so good in the church. Perhaps you have seen squabbling in the church, hypocrisy, power grabs, politics, all that good stuff in the church. And sometimes you might get to the point where you start asking these types of questions. Why do I do church? Why even bother? Have you ever asked yourself that question? You know, we can start a whole new ministry year with honesty. I'll bet you've all asked that question at some point along the way. Why do I even do this? I could be at home in my jammies right now. Couldn't you? Well, here's the shocking thing. As we start this new series, this is what I propose. This might blow you away. You were designed for church. You were designed for church. As we start a new series called Living as the Church, it's going to be about inviting you to go deeper into the beauty of the church, to breathe in more of the community that the church offers. Now, some of you are very distracted right now. I can tell. Because after saying you were designed for the church, you're going, whoa, you lost me already, buddy. Okay, because here's the deal. Are you saying that I am designed to drag my butt out of bed early on a Sunday morning, when I don't have to listen to amateur music? No offense to the music team. I mean that in the strictest sense. None of you are being paid. I'm already getting letters, don't worry. I'm designed to have a few awkward conversations and listen to some pint-sized pastor prattle on for half an hour. That's what you're saying I'm designed for. And I'm going to say, not quite. What I said was you were designed for church. What you heard was I'm designed for a church service. That's not what I said. I said you were designed for church. And in order to really dig deep into this, I invite you to listen to the Holy Spirit this morning. I invite you to open up your ears wide to what God has to say to you this morning, because quite potentially, He will change your life this morning. I believe that what I'm about to share with you, the world is desperate for and wishes they had it. Your purpose as a human being, and in fact, the purpose of all creation, is based on what I'm about to share with you. In order to get started, we need to go way, way back, before there were people. And you all know the story. God, in the first book of the Bible, God creates all kinds of things. Heavens and the earth and light and darkness and all that good stuff. And then He gets to the sixth day. And this is what we read. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. And they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. See, the interesting thing in this passage to me isn't so much that God created human beings. It's not so much even that He created them in His image or that He created them male and female. It's the way that He worded what He did. Did you catch that? Strange thing. 26 verses into the Bible, and we get this. Instead of Him saying, "I should make," or "we should make people in my image," He says, "let us make," to be like us, in our image. He uses the plural to describe Himself. Doesn't that seem odd? And He doesn't do it just one time. He does it three different times in the same passage. And right in the first chapter, you and I are introduced to something that later would become theologically known as the doctrine of the Trinity. Father, Son, and Spirit. God is one, and yet in three persons. And it's right there in the first chapter. In other words, long before God created any people like you and I, at the heart of all that there was community, was relationship, Father, Son, and Spirit. Isn't that something to think about? That's amazing. That at the very center of all things was not a cold, distant, all-powerful being, but a community. Did you know that the Bible describes God as love? It doesn't just say God is loving, although He is. The difference between the God of the Bible and all other gods is it describes God as love. God is love. You know, the only way that that's possible is for there to be more than one person. Otherwise, you can only be loving. But when there's three, and the Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Spirit, Spirit loves the Father, God is love, you see. You understand that? That there's this community of love there before any person came along. It's amazing. Salvation is not primarily about an invitation to streets of gold or family reunions or harps or clouds. It is an invitation to relationship, to join into this community, this original community that was there before the beginning of time. That the church is to reflect this community. And you cannot know the beauty of the church until you know the beauty of that original community, the Trinity. So what is this community like? I mean, if you're going to move in, you might want to get to know the neighborhood, right? So what is this community like? Well, let's find out. First of all, we find out, and a lot of this happens through the interaction when Jesus is on the earth, the Son is on the earth, and he's interacting with the other two members of the Trinity. And here we go. This community shows affection, first of all. In this community, there's no guessing. There are no games played. Watch this. It says, as Jesus was praying, this is when he was baptized, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy. Now, if the Father just wanted to affirm that this is his Son, he could have just said, this is my boy. That's it. You know, when you introduce, you know, parents, when you introduce your kids, this is my son. This is my daughter. Simple to the point, gets the job done, right? That's not what the Father did, is it? He elaborated. He said, you are my dearly loved Son, and you bring me great joy. In front of everyone around there, the Father lavished love on the Son. And he said, I'm so proud of my boy. Look at him right there. That's my boy. He makes me so happy. That's the nature of the Trinity. Next one. This is Jesus. I will do, he said, what the Father requires of me so that the world will know that I love the Father. Now, my experience has been children don't often stand in public places and go, I love my dad. And if that's happened to you, God bless you. You have wonderful children, go give them a hug. That has not been my experience from what I understand from most parents. But here is the Son standing out there in public and saying, I love my dad. I want everyone to know I love my dad. There's affirmation there. Here's the funny thing. You and I need affirmation. Do we not? You and I need someone in our life to say, I love you. You're amazing. I can't get enough of you. And you know, sometimes we, in our married lives, we really mess this up, don't we? We tell our significant other, you know, we loved you before we got married. If anything changes, I'll let you know. How does that work? Not very good. Doesn't go over very well. Here in the Trinity, we are introduced to people who have no problem affirming their love for one another. And that's a good, healthy relationship. And this is the kind of relationship that you and I are invited to in the community of the church, where there is affirmation going on. You know, I don't know about you, but when you first start in a relationship, it's a little tense at first, isn't it? You're kind of wondering, do they like me? You know, does she think I'm handsome? Does she think I'm funny or just funny looking? We need that affirmation. And finally, someone breaks the ice and said, you know, I love you. Woo! I love you too. Let's hope. We need that affirmation that's found in this community. And that's why, you see, you were designed for church. You were designed for this. You need this. Second thing we find in the Trinity, that this community is humble. It might be great if someone adores you, but if they're arrogant and it's all about them, you know, you're not the wind beneath their wings, if you know what I mean. Then who cares? Well, watch what happens in the Trinity. John 5. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. In the Trinity, they have no problems pointing to one another as valuable. Another example. Jesus talking, but when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. So here's the Holy Spirit getting involved, and he's going, listen to Jesus. I'm going to remind you everything that Jesus told you. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, 4. These are all the things that Jesus said. They have no problem pointing to one another as highly valuable. In community, in the church, you are important. Everybody is equal. Equally valuable. No amens on that one. Let's try this again. In the church, everyone is equally valuable. Amen. Oh, yeah, I should think so. This is amazing. It doesn't matter what your culture is, doesn't matter what color your skin is, doesn't matter what your background is, doesn't matter if you're nice and short like me or abnormally tall and weird. You are valuable. And we all need to be in relationships where there's humility, where everybody is seen as important. That may not be the case in your family. That may not be the case in your workplace. It might not be the case in your neighborhood, but it certainly can be the case in your church family. Isn't that beautiful? You were designed for church. Number three, this community, this Trinity, is trusting. I used to teach anger education, and I would ask, what are the most important elements of a friendship? Almost always within the top three was trust. You have to have trust. Well, watch this. Jesus says, the Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. Now, that might not seem very significant to you, but let me put it this way. Some time ago, as my boys got older, I decided I would give them my computer password. That took some trust on my account. When it came to some financial things, I entrusted them with that. And they had access to things that perhaps teenage children should not have, but they did. And it took some trust. But that's just financial stuff. That's just computer stuff. That's not much. Look at this. The Father loves his Son and has put everything into his hands. What kind of trust does that take exactly? Everything into his hands. It goes even further. Watch this. Here's another one. Jesus says, the Father judges no one. Instead, he has given the Son absolute authority to judge so that everyone will honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Again, you might just read over that real fast, but get this. You and I are the Father's prized possession. He loves you. The whole purpose of creation is to invite you into this community, and the judgment of all people will decide who gets to be part of this community and who does not. And the Father has placed that responsibility into the hands of the Son and said, you take care of it, I trust you. You'll make the right decisions. What kind of trust does that take? That's pretty profound, don't you think? I don't know what kind of trust it would look like in your life, whether, you know, trust looks like giving your wallet to someone or your day timer or your social media accounts or power of attorney or correspondence with loved ones. I don't know what that would look like. But trust is an integral part of any relationship, and it's part of the Trinity. In other words, this is part of the relationship that you and I are invited to. There's trust there. Can you imagine trusting the people in this room to that kind of level? That's what we're invited to have that kind of trust amongst us. You were designed for church. Number four, this community relies on one another. You can feel adored, you can feel important, there can be trust, but if you're just a third wheel, it's not much of a relationship. You start to feel like a motion-sensitive light on the bright side of the moon. Think about that. Or a sugar shaker in a candy store. You're not needed. But that's not the way it is in the Trinity. Watch this. Jesus returned to Galilee. This is when he's just starting his ministry. Jesus returned to Galilee filled with immense self-esteem. Is that what it says? No. What's he filled with? The Holy Spirit's power. That's part of this community that he's involved in. He's filled with the Holy Spirit's power. The Holy Spirit is filling Jesus with power. There's a reliance on one another. Here's another example. Jesus praying, Holy Father, you have given me your name. Now protect them. That's us. He's asking the Father to protect us by the power of your name so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. I guarded them. Now it's your turn. I'm going to rely on you. You need to protect them now. Isn't it nice to be needed? Isn't it nice to know that you have a place, that there's a purpose for you? I have the privilege of telling you this morning, if you didn't already know this, in the church, everyone has a purpose. Everyone is important. Everyone is relying on you. Did you know that? Everyone is relying on you. It's beautiful, I think. You were designed for church. Finally, number five. This is the last one. This community is generous. You know, that going away party that my last church threw for me was a form of generosity. But watch how this works in the Trinity. Jesus talking, all who are mine belong to you, Father. And you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. It seems, as I read the pages of the Bible, that God loves to give. He's very generous. The big famous verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. God's very generous, and he's very generous in the original community. And this is the community that you and I are invited to, a generous community where people give of themselves. Isn't that wonderful? It's not just we all come in our nice little silo and your stuff is your stuff and my stuff is my stuff and leave me alone. Some churches might look like that, but not Nanaimo Alliance Church. Amen? I don't want to be part of a church that looks like that. I want to be part of a church that says, hey, you know what? You need something? No problem. I'll take care of it. You need some time? I got some time. Let's go for it. Generosity is an integral part of a church community. You and I need to be around generous people, and we need to be generous. You were designed for church. Now, a lot of people today are confused. And they say, you know what? You just need a personal relationship with God. You don't need organized religion. You've heard that phrase before? Yeah. In fact, you might have loved ones, family members, friends, and they say, I'm just not into organized religion. It's just not my thing. I would say, listen to the words of Jesus. This is what he said. Again, he's praying. He said, I am praying not only for these disciples, the ones in front of them, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That's you and I. He said, I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. Now watch this. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. What a profound statement. You see, you and I are invited into this community. You and I are invited into this wonderful relationship that God has. He said, may they be in us. It's very mystical. It's beyond what I could even begin to describe here, I think, this morning. But what a powerful phrase. May they be in us, in this community, in this relationship. May they be in us. One more. Jesus, again, I have revealed you to them, and I will continue to do so. Now, this blows me away. Then your love for me, the Father's love for the Son, will be in them, and I will be in them. There is this very big cosmic invitation to be part of the original community. Do you sense the door open wide to you, that God is calling us in as a church to reflect the characteristics of the Trinity? A community that is marked by affection and trust and humility and reliance and generosity. You were made for what the church could be, for what the church will be. And that is why right now, in this series, we are calling people to small groups. Because affection, trust, humility, reliance, and generosity can only happen in limited ways in something like this, in a big group gathering. It's in smaller group gatherings that we can really go deeper and experience the richness of what the Trinity is. In order for that to happen, I'm going to ask you to say yes and no. Here's how it works. Of course, I want you to say yes to either leading a small group or being part of a small group. That's the yes part. That's simple, right? Okay. But I'm going to ask you to say no. I'm going to ask you to say no to whatever is blocking you right now from joining a small group. It could, and here's the thing, it's almost never something bad. It's always something good you have to say no to. It'll be kids' sports. It'll be some club. It'll be some hobby. It'll be something good that you're going to have to say no to in order to really experience the depth and beauty of this community at the heart of the universe. You and I were designed to be part of this community, and when I was reflecting on this, I realized that sin is so often just a pushing away of that community. Think about the Ten Commandments. Four of them are about how we push God away. Six of them are about how we push other people away. And then what are we commanded to do? To love. To draw people in. To become closer. To get to know them more. To love them more. The church is to reflect the relationships of the Trinity. The church, did you know, never describes a building or an organization or a club or a ritual. When the church is described, the word for church means the assembly or the gathering. You were made for this gathering, this assembly, this coming together, this relationship. You were designed for it before you were even born. And when the Bible talks about this group, it uses words like kingdom. More intimate, it uses words like family to describe the church. The more we mature and become like Christ, the more we treat one another like the original community. Do you know that? The more grown up we become in Christ, the more we reflect the characteristics of the Trinity. I want you to experience God. I do. I want you to experience this affection and trust and humility and reliance and generosity. I want you to experience it all and more. I don't know what your experience has been. I don't know if you've experienced all those things or none of those things. But I want to invite you to go deeper. And in this series, we are going to take a good hard look at how wonderful this thing called church really is and where we could go as Nanaimo Alliance Church. I just want you to let the Holy Spirit speak to you about that in these coming weeks. And in the end of October, I'm going to make the invitation. I'm going to say, do you want to join in and be part of this? Some of you are already part of small groups. I get that. That's wonderful. Keep going deeper. Keep going. But if you are not part of a small group, I'm going to invite you. And I'm going to say, come. Experience the characteristics of the Trinity. Come and experience what you were designed for. Community. Relationship. Family. Let's pray. Father, Son, and Spirit, we are blessed to be called your children. For all those in this room who have received salvation by trusting in you, God, you call them sons and daughters. And you have invited us to be one with you. I don't even know how to describe that or explain it. All I know is it's beautiful. And I know that many of the people in this room have yet to experience the full beauty of the church, functioning in all the love that you are calling us to, in this generosity and affection and reliance, all those things. God, I pray that you would speak to us in these coming weeks about your design for our lives, your design for the church, the assembly, the gathering. God, show us what it looks like. Show us how we can become closer to what you designed us for. God, some of the people in this room are scared. They've tried community. They've tried church. They've been burned. They've been hurt. And they're scared to try again. God, comfort them. Lead them into courage. May they trust in your love and experience your love so that nothing would scare them anymore. Lord, we love you. Continue to guide us as a church. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to get Daryl to come and he's going to close the service for us.